In this session, we will be looking at how we deal with long periods of account. A chargeable accounting period for corporation tax cannot exceed 12 months. This is the CAP. But under company law, accounts can be drawn up for periods as long as 18 months. This period is known as the period of account, or POA. Where a period of account exceeds 12 months, it must be split into two separate CAPs for tax purposes. These will be the first 12 months, because an accounting period cannot exceed 12 months, and the balance of the period, because a CAP always ends when a period of account ends. Looking at the example on the screen, we have a company, Longton Limited, which makes up a set of accounts for the 16 months ended 31st of July 2010. What I'd like you to do is to fill in the chargeable accounting periods for tax purposes as day-day, month-month, year-year. Once you have done this, please select Continue. This accounting period begins on the 1st of April 2009. Therefore, the first CAP will run through to the 31st of March 2010. The second chargeable accounting period will start immediately afterwards, on the 1st of April 2010, and will run through to the end of the period of account on the 31st of July 2010. Once we have worked out the accounting periods, we then need to split the company's income between the two separate CAPs, as the accounts will have been drawn up showing profits for the entire period of account. Let us first take a look at the trading income, in particular, trading profits. Trading profit is adjusted for the entire period. In the last example, we will compute the accounting profit for the entire 16 months and adjust it for disallowed items such as client entertaining and depreciation for the entire 16-month period. We would also deduct income that is not taxed as trading income, such as bank interest receivable and property income. The resulting tax-adjusted trading profits before deducting capital allowances are then time apportioned to the two periods, usually to the nearest month, although this can be done to the nearest day. In the last example we dealt with, this will be in the ratio 12/16 in respect to the first 12-month period and 4/16 in respect of the balance of 4 months. As far as capital allowances are concerned, we have to prepare separate computations for each CAP. This takes account of additions and disposals for each separate CAP. We then claim a separate writing down allowance for each of the two periods. But we must be aware, of course, that the writing down allowance and the annual investment allowance are time apportioned for the second chargeable accounting period. First year allowances do not need to be time apportioned. Therefore, in respect of the 16-month period we looked at with regards to Longton Limited, the writing down allowance for the second period will be multiplied by 4/12. Continuing the Longton Limited example, identify which items of income and expenditure need to be adjusted in calculating the tax-adjusted profits before capital allowances for the 16-month period of accounts. Where an adjustment is required, enter figures in the appropriate boxes on the screen and select Check Answers when you are ready to proceed. Bank interest receivable of £8,000 should be deducted, as this will be assessed as a non-trading profit, loan relationships. Rental income of £14,000 should be deducted, as this will be assessed as income from a UK property business. The £7,000 profit on sale of the fixed asset is an accounting entry only, and is ignored for tax purposes. Hence, this £7,000 also needs to be deducted. Where relevant, a chargeable gain will instead be calculated for tax purposes. The dividends received of £9,000 should also be deducted, as companies are not taxed on dividends received. These will instead be used in our calculation of augmented profits later on. The only add-backs required are for depreciation expense of £58,000 and for the donations to charity of £2,000. Charitable donations are instead deducted on the face of the corporation tax computation. As you can see on the screen, The adjustments are made to the company's profit before tax figure of £458,000. After making all of the adjustments, Longton Limited now has a tax-adjusted trading profit before capital allowances of £480,000 for the 16-month period of accounts. Let us now build on the example of Longton Limited and compute the income assessable as trade profit for each of the two periods, given the facts shown on the screen. Once you have worked through the numbers, enter the figures in the appropriate boxes on the screen and select Continue when you are ready to proceed. First of all, taking the tax-adjusted trading profit before capital allowances. The £480,000, which has already been adjusted for tax purposes, is apportioned to the two chargeable accounting periods. We apportion in the ratio 12/16 in respect to the year ended 31st of March 2010 and 4/16, that is £120,000, in respect of the 4 months ending 31st of July 2010. Let us now look at the capital allowances computation. The balance on the pool brought forward at the 1st of April 2009 was £30,000. We had one addition in the 12 months ended 31st of March 2010, that was on the 1st of January 2010, of £8,000. The addition of £8,000 is eligible for the annual investment allowance, giving 100% relief of £8,000. A writing down allowance of 20% is given on the balance brought forward, leaving a carry forward at the end of the period of £24,000. The total capital allowances of £14,000 are deducted from the adjusted profit before capital allowances to arrive at the trade profit figure for the first 12-month period. We then continue with the 4-month period to the 31st of July 2010. The addition of £2,400 on the 1st of June 2010 qualifies for the full 100% annual investment allowance. We then account for the disposal of £3,000 on the 1st of July 2010, giving a pool of £21,000 on which to claim writing down allowances. The writing down allowance will be 20% times 4/12, because this is a 4-month chargeable period. The writing down allowance is £1,400 and the pool to carry forward is £19,600. The capital allowances for this period total £3,800. We then deduct £3,800 of capital allowances in arriving at the trade profit figure for the second 4 months. The trade profit then for the two periods is £346,000 in respect of the first 12 months and £116,200 in respect of the second 4 months. Let's now look at the rules for splitting other income and qualifying charitable donations.
First of all, UK property business income. This is done on a time apportionment basis because, of course, the accruals basis applies to this source of income. Non-trading profits, loan relationships, which taxes the profits on non-trading loan relationships, is again calculated using time apportionment because the accruals basis of accounting applies to this source of income.
Chargeable gains are split between the two separate accounting periods based on the date of disposal of the asset. This is the date of a binding contract of sale, which for property is the date of exchange of contracts. Qualifying charitable donations are split between the periods based on the date that the amount was actually paid, and franked investment income is split between the accounting periods based on the date of receipt of the dividend.
We must be careful with time apportionment where the source of income is acquired part way through the accounting period. In this case, we must time apportion the income over the period in which it arose, rather than for the entire accounting period.
This will be illustrated in the next example.
After all the income and qualifying charitable donations have been allocated to the relevant CAP, two separate CT computations are prepared for the two separate periods. As we shall see later, these two separate CT liabilities are paid at different times, so there is never any point in adding them together. It is also possible for a company to pay tax at different rates for the two periods. For example, a company could pay tax at the small profits rate in the first 12 months CAP, but then pay tax at the main rate in the other short CAP if, for example, a large capital gain fell into this latter period. We will now expand the example of Longton as shown on the screen. What I'd like you to do is to complete the boxes showing how we'll actually apportion the various sources of income and qualifying charitable donations between the two separate chargeable accounting periods. If you consider that no amount should be apportioned to particular periods, simply type 0. Once you have completed the boxes, select Continue.
Let us now have a look at this apportionment.
The £8,000 non-trading profit, loan relationships, income is split between the period in the ratio 12/16 in respect of the first 12 months, as the source arose throughout the entire 12-month period, giving £6,000, and £2,000 in respect of the second 4-month accounting period, that being 4/16.
We have a 16-month accounting period running from the 1st of April 2009 to the 31st of July 2010. The property was acquired on the 1st of January 2010. Therefore, the income of £14,000 has accrued over a 7-month period. 3/7 of this arises before the 31st of March 2010. Therefore, £6,000 of the rents are allocated to the first 12-month period, and 4/7, i.e. £8,000, is allocated to the 4 months ending the 31st of July 2010. The chargeable gain arose entirely in the second period, as the asset was sold on the 30th of May 2010. Therefore, £10,000 is allocated to that period and nothing to the first 12 months. The qualifying charitable donations are paid on the 1st of July each year. In respect of the first 12 months, £1,000 of charge was paid on the 1st of July 2009. In respect of the second 4 months, another £1,000 was paid on the 1st of July 2010. So we allocate two separate payments to the two separate chargeable accounting periods. Let us now build up Longton Limited's corporation tax computations for the two periods. Given the information that we've already been through, we can see that by bringing in the income and taking off the qualifying charitable donations, the taxable total profits for the first 12 months are £357,000 and £135,200 for the second 4-month period. Assume the company received a dividend on the 1st of January 2010, which grossed up makes FII of £10,000. That is allocated entirely to the year ended 31st of March 2010. This gives us augmented profits for each of the two periods of £367,000 and £135,200 respectively. Assume that Longton Limited had one wholly owned subsidiary, which was sold on the 1st of January 2010. What I'd like you to do is to calculate the corporation tax liability for each chargeable accounting period. Complete the boxes on the screen and select Continue when you are ready.
Let us take a look at the answer to this final part of the example.
As we saw, the augmented profits for each of the two separate chargeable accounting periods are £367,000 and £135,200. So, what we need to work out are the limits which apply.
In respect of the first 12-month period, there are two associated companies, Longton and its one subsidiary. So therefore, we have to divide the full upper limit by 2. That gives us £750,000 in respect of the upper limit. and £150,000 in respect of the lower limit. With regard to the second four-month period, as the associated company has been sold before the start of this period, we do not need to divide it by two, but we do need to time apportion it down to 4/12, as it is only a four-month accounting period. This gives us an upper limit of £500,000.
We also apply exactly the same to the lower limit of £300,000, giving us a lower limit of £100,000. As we can see, the augmented profits for the first 12 months are between the limits, and equally the same thing applies in respect of the second four-month period. So therefore, for both chargeable accounting periods, the company is a marginal company. So, first of all, we apply the main rate to the taxable profits. The main rate for the 12 months ended 31st of March 2010 is 28%, because the whole of this chargeable accounting period falls into financial year 2009, giving us corporation tax of £99,960. The 4 months ended 31st of July 2010 fall into financial year 2010. However, the rate of tax did not change between the 2 years, so the main rate of tax for this period is again 28%,
giving corporation tax of £37,856.
We then deduct marginal relief in respect of each period. For the first 12 months, the fraction of 7 over 400 is multiplied by £750,000. Less £367,000 multiplied by TTP over augmented profits, giving £6,520. In respect of the second four-month period, the calculation is 7 over 400 multiplied by £500,000 minus the augmented profits. The marginal relief is therefore £6,384. This gives us corporation tax liabilities of £93,440 in respect of the first period and £31,472 in respect of the second period. That concludes this session on long periods of account.